hearing and work session on HCR 6 this morning, and welcome Mark. You want to talk about it while Mark comes up?
I'd be happy to give you a few minutes. There are a few comments, Madam Chair, but I'm sure that Mark Luca has much more to add. House Concurrent Resolution 6 honors the life work of Ronald S. Coyne and conveys sympathy of his loss to family and others impacted by his life of service. Mr. Coyne was a special education teacher for 23 years and served as a volunteer reserve deputy sheriff for a number of years, first with Multnomah County, then with Clackamas County. He was a mentor to many other reserve deputies and served as a trainer.
Thank you. Mark DeLuca, do you want to tell us more?
Sure. Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Mark Luca, and I served as a reserve deputy sheriff in Clackamas County, beginning in 1998 and ending in 2001. Joined the Josephine County Sheriff's Office for a couple of years before I moved back up here. In that time, Ron was my first training officer. And before I start, I'll just say that I do have prepared testimony, and it's very eloquent, and it's at home. Due to a technical problem, and I'll make that available to the committee as well after I go home and send that to you. But about Ron. Ron was not exactly like me. He was never asked to appear in any recruiting posters for the sheriff's office. He was not the kind of person that you would expect to would be a police officer. You think, 6'5" Norsemen are the people that they go after or whatever. But what struck me about Ron from early on when I first met him, the very first day I went out in a patrol car, was that he had an amazing dedication to public service, both, as I came to learn, in teaching special education for so long, which, as you know, is probably more dangerous than police work, and in police work itself for three different agencies, two of which he was a volunteer at for 23 years in the Portland area. So I'll give you a few vignettes here. My very first day, we were assigned a patrol in a very rural area south of Malala, in the Dickey Prairie area. And it's an area frequented by, it's BLM land, and it's camping and recreation, that sort of thing. And as a brand new recruit to the sheriff's office, you don't dream of patrolling the forest. You expect to have something a little bit more action-packed. And it was the summer, so I was off of school, and Ron, being a teacher, he had the summer off. And this was, as I said, a federal contract. So we were out there during the day, in the middle of the summer, in the middle of the week, and it was very quiet at times. But it was in those times that I got to really meet Ron and learn things about law enforcement that, while they weren't about tactics, they were about things that would help me cope. And I'll just give you a few examples. So the very first ticket that I wrote, I heard excuses so ridiculous that the judge eventually, rather than cutting the fine, doubled it in my very first court appearance, because he made even worse excuses to the judge. And I learned that despite the, all the nervousness I had of writing that first ticket, that you need to take those experiences and have a good chuckle about them afterwards, because there would be times when you would see things that were not funny, and you would need that bank of the ridiculous stored up and the ability to laugh. And Ron taught me that on my very first day. Those types of experiences, when the very first time I drove with the lights and sirens on, responded to a assist call from Malala Police Department, and I learned that day that you really need to be aware of your surroundings as a police officer, I learned that because I drove the wrong way right up the Malala Buckaroo parade route. Because I didn't know there was such a thing being from California. And so I learned again that something about tactics and also something about laughing at yourself. Later on, I saw Ron's health begin to decline, and I've described it as kind of like, and I mean no disrespect, but it's kind of like a hunting dog that can't quite get off the porch as fast as he used to, but when he hears that truck door open, still wants to run and jump in the back of the pickup. And Ron had a spirit that never dimmed when it came to law enforcement. I could call him at any time of the day or night, and often did, because we have to ride with partners, and ask if he wanted a ride, and he was always there. No matter how many hours he'd worked that day, if he'd gotten off from the school, or if he'd worked 12 hours already on a shift, and I was just coming in and said, hey, you want to go ride? He'd go out for another 8 hours. Really an indomitable spirit. And as I said, not the kind of, you know, person that I learned a bunch of tactics from, but somebody that I learned a lot of life skills and a lot of coping skills from. And I would also add that when we were driving around the forest that very first week of my patrol, he spoke of his wife and family as though they were newlyweds. They'd been married over 20 years at that point, and I learned that it's possible that even when you devote over 1,000 hours of public service each year, have a career that takes a lot of your time, that you can still have a great devotion to your family, and in two careers that he had that are rather tough on families, he still managed to keep that forefront in his mind. Sometimes those two areas of special education and law enforcement collided for Ron. He loved to tell the story to new recruits about when he was a Multnomah County deputy and they responded to a burglary call and they found a guy backing out of the back door with a TV, and both officers put their guns to the guy, and the guy feels the gun button, stops, and he turns. He says, "Hi, Mr. Coyne." It was one of Ron's students. And it was that sort of sense of humor that introduced many, many new law enforcement officers to the field. And I don't know how many hundreds, more than likely there are, of officers all over the state who are either reserves or full-time officers who got their start being trained by Ron, who, in addition to his time as a teacher, spent time in law enforcement as a teacher as well. Finally, when I was passing the bill back around for this, one representative's LA asked me, and I know she meant no disrespect by it, but asked me, why are we honoring this person? And again, to read the bill, you would probably find that it was somewhat of an average Joe. I mean, wasn't a sports hero born in Oregon, and wasn't a former governor, or wasn't anything like that. And to answer her question, and I'll do it more eloquently now than I did then, hopefully, I think it's right and proper for us in this assembly to recognize people who live a life that we should hold in high esteem and set an example for other Oregonians. And anybody can do one thing great one day or over the course of a year or two and make some great contribution, and we rightly should honor that. But to do so over the course of decades of quiet and humble service and not ask for recognition in return, and invest yourselves in the lives of thousands between law enforcement calls and people that he worked with and his family and of course the, I don't know how many hundreds of students came through who he taught with a focus on life skills to those special education students to help them overcome their challenges in life. Those are the kind of people that I think we also need to recognize in this state and hold up as an example, because they, I think, have a very lasting therapeutic effect on our society. So with that, I will just respectfully ask that you pass HCR 6 to the floor with the unanimous due pass recommendation, and I'd be happy to answer any questions you might have.
Mark, I can't imagine that you could have been more eloquent in your prepared remarks than you were just now.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much. Questions? The committee. Representative Witt.
Madam Chair, just a statement. What an eloquent statement to humble service to the people that he served. Great job.
Thank you, Representative Witt.
We are in work session. Representative Sumner.
Madam Chair, I move HCR 6 to the floor with a be adopted recommendation.
Representative Sumner moves HCR 6 to the floor with a be adopted recommendation. Any objection? So ordered. Thank you, Mark, very much for your words today. And I'm going to close the work session on HCR 6 and open a work session on HJR 43.
Yes.
Kara, I don't think you need to I don't. Go ahead. This. Yeah, I will. Let me explain to the committee that this is an HJR that goes with some enabling legislation that is in another committee. And it was my intention to move it to that other committee. That being said, is there anyone that would like to speak on this? Okay. Mr. Schellenberg, would you like to come up?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Don Schellenberg, representing Oregon Farm Bureau. Appreciate the opportunity to come before your committee.
Because you hadn't before, and you can't miss the opportunity. However, I think I explained what we're doing here.
I appreciate what you're going to do. Very interesting bill. Here it's an issue that's been debated in Farm Bureau for years, back and forth, and a lot of consternation regarding administrative rules, because it seems like some state agencies, they have an agenda that they want to push, and no matter what the legislation says, they're able to pass some administrative rule, and oftentimes it seems like it gives us some problems. But and so Farm Bureau, being true to its name, we actually have policy that conflicts on this issue. We have one policy that supports administrative rules, and another one says there shouldn't be any. And so a little bit hard to know quite where to go on this, except that there's really a separation of powers issue in a way here. You make the laws, the administration, the state agencies, they administer those laws, but of course they can do administrative rules. So how do you account for that? And why do we need overview of administrative rules by the legislature? One idea is when you come into session, instead of approving administrative rule, what you really need to do is change the statute so that rule is not consistent with the statute. That's how the legislature deals with that issue, rather than overseeing administrative rules. But if you do go ahead and do this, then I have one recommended amendment to the bill, and that would be on line 17. And it's under the definition of state agency, who a state agency is and who this applies to. It says it means any elected or appointed state officer, board, commission, department, agency, or institution, except those in the legislative and judicial branches, any of which is authorized by law to adopt administrative rules, and then I would add, with statewide applicability or authority. And I don't know if you need both words or one or the other. The reason I bring that to your attention, there's another bill in the House Land Use Environment Committee, HB 2100, And what this bill does is provide for the regionalization of LCDC. And it would establish either five or seven regional commissions around the state. Well, the purpose of those regional commissions is so that you can have different rules in each of the different regions that would be consistent with the statewide goals. And if you don't add this kind of language, and we have that in place, then the legislature, according to this bill, would need to review all of those local administrative rules as well, or regional administrative rules as well. Don't think that's what would be intended here, and so that's why I make the recommendation. Thank you, Madam Chairman, for the opportunity to appear today.
And I would encourage you to hurry to the Election and Rules Committee, who is hearing part of this today. And we are intending to marry this up with that other effort in another committee today.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Schellenberg. Mr. Buckley, Representative Buckley.
Madam Chair, I move H.J.R. 43 to the floor without recommendation to passage.
No.
I move the bill to be referred to the Committee on Election Rules by prior reference.
Thank you, Representative Buckley. Moves H.J.R. 43 to the Committee on Election and Rules by prior reference. No, not prior reference.
Not the prior reference.
Just moves it.
I move the bill.
Without recommendation. Without recommendation. All right, let's get it right. Representative Buckley moves H.J.R. 43 to the Committee on Election and Rules
without
recommendation.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any objection? So moved. All right, now I'm going to close the work session on H.J.R. 43, open one on H.J.R. 32. Kara, remind us, we heard this last week.
Yes, we did. Thank you, Madam Chair. Members of the committee, you'll recall that H.J.R. 32 instructs the legislative administrator to determine an appropriate location in the Capitol for development of a Capitol History Center. And your legislative administrator is with us today, should you have any questions of him. But proponents of this measure envision a history center within the Oregon State Capitol that would share Oregon's rich cultural and political history through documents and artifacts. It is estimated that more than 300,000 visitors tour the building each year, and that this would be something that would add to their enjoyment and enrichment as they tour the Capitol.
Remember this?
Yes.
Any questions? He's here.
I'd like to ask you if this is actually workable.
We'll ask Dave Henderson, our administrator, to come forward, and you can ask your question.
Madam Chair, Representative Sumner, for the record, I'm Dave Henderson, legislative administrator. We believe it's entirely workable. We believe we can find space in the Capitol to create this. It's not going to be a huge museum, but certainly we believe it's workable.
It will be tasteful and a good public display of historic artifacts.
Yes, sir.
You just use the second floor house offices.
Some artifacts in there.
What's your office?
Thank you, Dave.
Thank you, Dave.
Madam Chair, I move House Joint Resolution 32 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Sumner moves House Joint Resolution 32 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any objections? So ordered. Would you like to carry this, Representative Sumner?
I would be honored, ma'am.
Thank you very much.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
Did you assign a carrier to our first bill today?
Yes.
Thank you.
Representative Sumner. You got them both.
He's a busy guy today.
Man, you know. Maybe.
You got them both today. Okay.
I'm talking Brad, too.
Huh?
Oh, I was just...
Okay. I'm going to close the work session on H.J.R. 32. Thank you for coming, and adjourn this session of the House General Government Committee.
Right.
Well, see you next week.